Lady Shir and Chayv Salvadas Sharavodas Alokim. This is the first Shir of the Pesach of Tavshin Ayin Hay. Shir number 11 in Sharavodas Alokim. Today is Chaf Vav Nisan Tavshin Ayin Hay, Wednesday. Sharavodas Alokim. Lady Shir, Shir number 11. First Shir of the Pesach. Okay. A little noisy, but good kind of noise, Baruch Hashem. I had everybody together, Bli Ayin Hara. That's nice. But it's noisy. But the kids, the grandkids know to steer clear of me. I actually read one of them a book one day, I think. Everybody came to look. Look, Sadie's reading them a book. Look. Okay, so we're learning Chavis Halvavus, Shar Avodos Elokim, and we're in the middle of Perek Gimel. Very, very fundamental. But we're not going to stop from the beginning. We're in the middle of it. We're talking about Ha'ora Toranis, as he calls it, and Ha'ora Sichlius. Ha'ora means inspiration, motivation. And he's described two types of Avodas Elokim. One is obedience-oriented, ritual-oriented, we could say. We have the mitzvahs in the Torah, we have a Shulchan Aruch, and this is really what we're used to. We're good Litvashe Jews, and we have a Mishnah Brura, and we have a Shulchan Aruch. Once in a while we have a Rav, and we're obedient. You know, we want to do mitzvahs, we don't want to do Averis. And that, the context of that, Chavis Halvavus says, is Schar V'Onesh. Because that's how the Torah set it up. You do good, you get Schar, you do bad, you get Onesh. You have the mitzvahs, you have the averus, you have the rules. It's ritual. It's ritual oriented, schar va'onesh oriented, and it's obedience oriented. If you manage to do this, that's wonderful. You get a ticket to Gan Eden, and it's really, really wonderful. But there's another madrega, which is called ha'ara sichlis, which is where the person's intellectual or emotion, really, both the seichel and the emotion are engaged, and he wants to serve Hashem. He understands what he's doing. He understands why this is the Ratzon Hashem, or maybe how it's the Ratzon Hashem. Even a chulk, which is inexplicable, that we're not understanding the spiritual reasons behind the chulk. There definitely are spiritual reasons. Hashem is not arbitrary. But we don't understand the spiritual reasons behind it. But so then we relate to it because we know we're avodim and we have to listen to Hashem. But that could become ha'ara sichlis, where that my mind tells me that I have to sometimes show obedience to Hashem even if I don't understand it. Ha'ara sichlis is not schar va'onesh oriented. It's inspired from my sense of hakaras hatov. This is the huge yisod principle of the Chavis Halvavus throughout the Sefer, and takes on many, many different manifestations and totsa'os because of it. And I feel grateful, and my way of showing gratitude and thanks is to the Hakaras HaTov is common to both. My sense of Hakaras HaTov could make me obedient. Right, a person saves my life and then says, bring me a glass of water. I'm certainly going to get him a glass of water. That's a bad example because then he's thirsty, I assume, and I run to help him and Hashem doesn't need anything. So that wasn't such a good example. A person saves my life and says, I want you to, how can I ever repay you for saving my life? You say, well, you can jump up and down 3 times. I'll do it. I'll feel compelled to do it. The example I give always, you know, someone got me a job and put me through school, and then he's making a wedding and it's raining outside. I feel compelled to, you know, I want to go. But that could result in an obedience oriented lifestyle also. But then, so I guess that the sense of Hakaras HaTov, which is the Hakdama to Avodas Elokim, could also tell me to be obedient, because that's how I show gratitude, that's how I acknowledge everything Hashem did for me. If you really want to know everything Hashem did for you, then you have to go through Shaar HaBechina. and go through nishmas and think about what you're saying, and you really develop that doing shara b'china, not learning shara b'china. You can learn shara b'china your whole life and never do it, but doing shara b'china, thinking about the things it says there, really fills the person with a sense of amazement and thankfulness and gratitude. But that could result in obedience. But what's more compelling, what's more the person, this is how the Chabad loves this, what's more me, I am engaged, I understand what I'm doing. This is the Chabad HaLavos Shita. It may not be accepted by all, but as I always say, the Chabad HaLavos is a very, very early Rishon, and he's a Talmud of the Gaonim, he's a very early, way before the Ramban, way before the Rambam, way before Rashi. And it's a systematic analysis of different things which you don't find in other Sfarim. I've told people his Shara HaBitachon is really, a lot of Sfarim on Bitachon, but they're all inspirational and Musar oriented. And, you know, you could walk away from the inspiration and say, yeah, but just what is Bitachon and how am I supposed to get it? And Rabbi Talov is the only Sefer I know, and it's amazing because it's so early. But all, down today with his English books on Bitachon and Living Emuna, which should rightfully be called Living Bitachon, not Living Emuna. I wrote my pals in Art Scroll that it's the wrong title. But it doesn't analyze and tell you how to acquire it. Analyze what Bitachon is, what it's not, how do you acquire it, steps. It's an amazing sefer. So, he wants you to feel compelled to do mitzvahs and to understand, not just compelled. The compelling is because of the Koras HaTov, but he wants you to understand it. That's what Rabbi Halava Sashita. He wants you to understand what you're doing. Your body is engaged. Your mind is engaged. Your lev is engaged. Your Obed Hashem with everything, with your all. And you understand what you're doing. And Rabbi Halava says very clearly that that is the higher Madrega, and that is what we want to aspire to. But the stepping stone to it is Ha'ara Toronis, because it doesn't work otherwise, as history has shown. Then he gives a list, but definitely he says very clearly that a goal, we may never reach the goal. Halavai, 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 we would do Ha'ara Toronis the way we're supposed to. That's once in a while, maybe you're eating matzah, and maybe, you know, you just said, you know, matzah, Pesach, Moror, maybe we could relate to it a little. And maybe, okay, that's a little hard, because this Chayev Odom Liros is Hatzvo Kilo Yotzom in Mitzrayim, which is very hard. But maybe, you know, anyway, it's very hard. Halavai, we would do all the mitzvahs obediently. But the Chavit HaLavah says clearly that's the goal. That's a goal. That's the higher Madrega. And Ha'ara Toronis is a stepping stone. But lest we think that you can cheat, he gives a list of seven qualities. This is what he does in Perek Gimel. He gives a list of seven qualities of Ha'ara Sichlis and a list of seven qualities of Ha'ara Toronis. So we're in the middle of the list of Ha'ara Toronis. Ha'ara Sichlis, he talks about doing it Lishma, and the fact that it's Cholos HaLovos as opposed to Cholos HaEvarim, and the fact that it's limitless mitzvahs. You're not limited to 613, you're not limited to Pesach night. You could always be thanking Hashem for Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And so it frees you from the sort of the gevulim of Ha'orot, of the mitzvahs. And then he says an amazing thing in number 6. It's an amazing thing. He says, Ha'ara Toronis, you could do. I mean, of course you need Siyata Dishmaya to be able to do mitzvahs, but it's essentially in your hands. You're choosing if you're going to do it or not. Ha'ara Sichlis is such a leap that you need Siyata Dishmaya to be Zochet, to really feel the things you're supposed to feel. He counts that as a quality of Ha'ara Sichlis. It's like an amazing... I would think it's not a quality, it's a chisaron. No, he says the fact that you need Hashem at your side, and that's what David HaMelech davened for in Kuf Yutes. You know Kuf Yutes, that really long parak?
he says that's the essential point of what David HaMelech is davening for throughout Kuf Yutes, is to have that Ezer Hashem that you need to have Ha'orah Sichlis, to really appreciate and understand and feel all the things you're supposed to feel, that the obedience level is supposed to engender in us. So that he counts that as a quality, that you need Ezer Hashem, which means you're always like living with Hashem, which you have to do. We learned in Shara Pitachon, you really need that for Ha'orah Toranus also, because I can plan on being Mavakechola someone, and I need Hashem's Ezer that the car should start, and I shouldn't get stuck in a traffic jam, and I should get there on time, and the elevator shouldn't get stuck, and your body, you need it to, you know, to respond to your commands. But be that as it may, but it's still essentially in your hands. And Ha'orah Sichlis is even more than that, meaning you need Hashem more. You need, it's like a leap. It's a leap. And apparently we would not be able to, you need special Siyata Dishmaya for it, which is what David Davin von Kufiutes, he counts that as a Mila. And, okay, so he gives a list. Now we're in the middle of the list of Ha'orah Toronis. He says, okay, so, no, you must have Ha'orah Toronis, and this, the first quality, we're going to start learning inside by number four, I think. The first quality, he says, because a person's always in a struggle between the physical and the spiritual. And what people would do, and we know this to be so true, what people would do is they would go overboard. And he says, you need both, right? You can't starve yourself. You can't... You know, you need the olam hazeh for the guf. You can't get sick. You have to take care of yourself. You have to have certain things, even comfort. You know, he's not talking about now shara precious, which is bare, you know, substances level. You know, the guf needs certain things to be a well-rounded person, to be optimistic, to be happy, to be in a good mood. You need things. You need creature comforts. You need air conditioning. You need it. That's all. You need good food even, maybe, you know. You see, Shabbos, you're supposed, you know, we see that this is a good thing. And so you need a balance, because that tugs you in that direction, and this tugs you in that direction. But he says, if not for Ha'orah Sichlis, people would go overboard, and you'd end up in an ashram somewhere in India. He doesn't say that, I'm saying that. And you would end up, you know, fasting and chanting and, Meshuggah. He says, you'd go overboard. People tend to go overboard. So it's interesting. He says, Ha'orah Toronis strikes the balance. Eat food, but eat kosher. Be married, right? But this Isser of this Heter. And everything. Wear clothing. Make sure it's not shatness. Work 6 days. Refrain from work and be a more spiritual person on Shabbos. This is the balance, and if it was left up to the seichel, people would always go overboard. They'd go overboard, which pretty true, good judgment of character. The second quality of Ha'orah Toronis, he says something fascinating. He says, you know, if we left it up to your seichel, we can't trust you. You would decide, let's say, not to daven. Why? Because who am I to change Hashem's mind? Who said I can change? Like, we would think of all sorts of, even gift stocker. Hashem wanted him to be poor. Who am I to argue? Right? You would come up, yeah, you're only laughing if you're poor. If you're rich, you're not laughing so much. You say, hey, that's a good svara. Never thought of that. He says people would come, first of all, people would come up with all sorts of cheshbainas if they were left with their seichel. You can't trust people. So we need rules. Yes, you have to daven. Davening is arguably illogical. So you need Ha'orah Toronis for such things. You need Ha'orah Toronis to give tzedakah. You need Ha'orah Toronis to tell you to fast when you have to fast. That's number one. Number two is, again, gevulim. You need boundaries. How much? The Gemara says an amazing story, which really brings out the point wonderfully. The Gemara says that, I forgot who, maybe it was just a Talmud, anonymous, found a mace mitzvah. A mace mitzvah means you see a mace laying in the street and there's no one taking care of the burial.
So this person took it and he walked with it for miles, trudging in the hot sun, carrying the corpse, because he's doing such a chesed, he's bringing it to a cemetery. And he says, you know, wow, look what I did. I did this amazing thing for the mace. And Rabbi Kiva told him, you're shayfech damim. The din is a mace mitzvah, you have to be kover b'makomo. Kover a mace demands you bury it where it's found. You don't take it to a cemetery. That's a mace mitzvah we're talking about, that no one knows who it is, it's just a corpse. So you were shayfech damim. So he was like, whoa, you know. But there's dinim. Hashem knows how much stucca to give, when to fast, when to eat. And again, if we were left our own devices, not only would we maybe come up with rationales to not do the right thing that Hashem wants us to do, as I gave an example about davening and maybe even stucca and who knows what else, but the gevulim we wouldn't relate to. We would do things that are improper. We would go overboard. So we need Ora Toronis to set boundaries. And, okay, that's number two. Again, we're not learning the text inside yet. The third quality of Ora Toronis is the great equalizer. It's, we're in democracy, all men are created equal. He says, imagine if you just had an Ora Toronis, if you just had an Ora Sichlis, so I'm not that bright, so I can handle 16 mitzvahs that I figured out. My friend is much smarter, he figured out 32 mitzvahs. Then you have real geniuses, maybe they figured out all 613 mitzvahs. And everybody, and you don't have a Klal Yisrael. You have everybody doing what they understand, and that's terrible. He says that's terrible. And the great equalizer that Klal Yisrael is doing mitzvahs is Ora Toronis. 613 mitzvahs to all, obviously all 613 don't apply to everybody, but everybody's the same. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to put on the same tefillin as I do. Unless he's going to wear a Benotam tefillin. I don't know. But that's the point. I was never really a Rebbe in a class. But I think it must be such wonderful chinuch if the child looks... A kid in the class looks at his Rebbe, and his Rebbe also has to get up and daven. His Rebbe also has to put on tefillin. His Rebbe also is not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. His Rebbe is also not allowed to get angry. You know, it's a very good thing. Like, we're all in this together. So first of all, I said a few things here. Chabad alludes to all of them. First of all, it makes for Klal Yisrael, and we know from Maral and other Svarim, that the name of the game is really Klal Yisrael more than the individual. So Klal Yisrael has 613 mitzvahs. Otherwise, everybody is like has a different religion. Because this person will understand Pesach, and this person will understand Kisui Hadam, and this person will understand Chesed. You know, and everybody will be... No, everybody has to do the red line minimum. That's halavai. That's Ora Toronis, and it equalizes everybody. And it also, so everybody's the same. And it also, it equalizes people. Everybody's it's an equalizer. Everybody's the same. Nobody's allowed to talk Lashon Hara. There's no dispensation because you don't really understand what's involved and what's the avla of talking Lashon Hara. Which, if you would be just a Ora Sichlis, so you know you're holding where you're holding. So that's quality number three. And he quotes the pasuk of Hakel that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, in the mitzvah of Hakel is to read the Sefer Torah in front of all Klal Yisrael, Anoshim, Taf, the Ger Chasher B'Sharecha, and he quotes that at the end of number three, and obviously he sees in that, like, the way Torah should be transmitted and learned. Okay, so that's number three. We're going to learn number four inside. V'horavi'i. Again, this is in the second list. V'horavi'i. Ravi is an amazing thought. Again, I go back to the Chavis Halavos' perspective and context of all of our Avodas Hashem, that it's Hakaras HaTov. He's going to say later in this Sha'ar that the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach Everything's commensurate with your degree of Hakaras HaTov. Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is universal because that's thank you to Hashem for being alive, for being a person, not an animal, not a stone, and that's everybody in the world. And, you know, when we think Hakaras HaTov, there's a Hakaras HaTov in which all humanity is equal, and that results in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Then you have Bnei Yisrael. Whoa, he did more. We're more than just alive. And, you know, and everything's working, and gravity, everything. Most of the things he says in Shara Bechina is universal. Are universal. And they result in the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, which are much more than seven, of course. If you know, the Mitzvos Bnei Noach are not like the 613 Mitzvos. Seven Mitzvos Bnei Noach are principles that include, some of them include, one of them is dinim, to set up a judicial system. Now, if you go to the 613 mitzvahs and you start counting mitzvahs, the ones that are mitzvahs about how to run a court system, it's probably around 30 or 35 of them. You're not allowed to take shochad. You're not allowed to listen to one baldin without the other baldin. You have to set up a court system. You have to judge righteously, etc., etc. Aban Noach is mechuyev in all of them. So the seven probably, I never saw a sefer that actually sits and counts. But I would estimate that the seven is more like 200 in our count. Because Arayos is one of seven. But then you start counting. Well, Ben Noach is not mechuyev in all the Arayos, but in many, it comes out to around 15. So you have 15 there, and the courts is like 25. We're already up to 40. Because it's a different system. Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are principles that have so many, that's the pshat in Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakas Yisrael L'Fika Chirba Lehem Torah U'Mitzvahs. That to us, it's a different mitzvah and a different way of serving Hashem. And regular people, they got like this large like group of mitzvahs under one heading. Okay, anyway, having said that, so the Chavis HaLodos, we have six, so it's not really seven versus 613, but that's the way we refer to it, so we'll refer to it that way also. But just realize that the seven is much more than seven. So the Chavit HaLevi says, so the universal things, which is like 95% of Shar HaBechina, that's universal. That's Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That demands and compels us to do Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Then the Jews were chosen by Hashem. The Jewish people. You can join the Jewish people if you want, but the Jewish people, as a group, were taken out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem gave them a Torah. And Hashem said, you are bonim lamokim, you are my children, you are special. Wow. So now we have more to be makar tov for, because Hashem chose a special. We have more mitzvahs. Then Shevet Levi. He goes through this later on in the Shevet Levi was given special privileges. See, it's funny, if I would ask someone, a Kohen has special privileges, and he has to work in the Beis Mikdash. So, I think the average person would say, okay, he has to work in the Beis Mikdash, and his reward is, he gets these special privileges. Chavis HaLovas turns it all around. Hashem chose Shevet Levi to give them special privileges. So they have more to be makar tov for. So they have more responsibilities, because they are payback more. This results in a very big yisod, which we'll be learning about later on in the shiur. I'm jumping ahead. And that is, if a person feels blessed, if a person says, I look around and, you know, let's say in the olden days, let's say one child in every family died young, which is probably true. I'm talking about like, let's say 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 100 years ago. And then, and I have a family with no child, so I have to do something, I have to say thank you. If I feel other people look are struggling with parnasa and I have parnasa, what do? It's hard to figure out. You see, that's how Rasichlis takes over, because then I have to say thank you commensurate with how I feel blessed. But his point here is that we wouldn't know any of this. You wouldn't figure out, like, you wouldn't know what to do. Shevet Levi wouldn't, you know, you can't figure these things out. So you need at least a Torah. You need the Torah for the context, for the background, for the history, that there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we came from them, and we were taken out of Mitzrayim. This is what number four is.
For Ravi Kimina Yodua, it's known. Well, it's not really known. It's known after the Chavis Lavov has told us it. Ki avodas bnei Adam chayoven bohen, people's worship, service of Hashem, we'll call it doing the will of Hashem. It's not really service because Hashem doesn't need anything, and it's not really worship. It's not really it's a strange word. It's doing Hashem's will. That's how we worship Him, by doing His will. The irony of it all, as we say countless times, is that it's only His will because it's good for us. L'tov lach, the pasuk says. There's a whole list of things we do, and then it says l'tov lach. Hey, it's for your sake. I'm not gaining anything out of it, so to speak. Hashem's saying it's for your benefit because we bond with Hashem, we acquire eternity, we become spiritually, we become part of Hashem, whatever, you know, in whatever way we understand it, the Veikus Hashem, and we acquire Nitzchias, eternity, Olam Haba. So that's, you know, that's always a funny service of worship. It's doing Hashem's will, and it will result in being more spiritual people and bonding with Him more. And when we shed the guf, our neshamas are what they are, and we bond with Hashem to the degree that we have made them spiritual, that they have acquired certain spiritual traits. Then the guf also comes back, according to many Rishonim, because the guf becomes purified as well through the neshama, because it's not fair that the guf that worked so hard should stay buried. So the guf becomes some sort of E-T-H-E-R-E-A-L, some sort of material. It's not so grub like our skins now. It's more like malachim, which have something. It's not physical. You can't call it physical, but it's not just spiritual. It's something. I don't know how to describe it, because I don't know what it is, because I don't know what I'm talking about, actually. But I know the words. I know the words. Because most Rishonim, I don't know most, many, many Rishonim hold that the guf will also live forever. It's not just the neshama. The guf will be a more spiritual entity and will be nizdakech, will be purified by the neshama. And that will live forever, and that will bond with Hashem. Like, the guf gets its reward too. That's why I believe, I don't know if I'm right, but this is what I hold. That's why Tchias HaMesim is so important. Because we believe in Olam Haba, right? So let's say we take the idea that Olam Haba means the neshama. You know. Then what do you need Tchias HaMesim for? Like, and it's one of the 13 articles of faith. And like, why? Because to see that Hashem can do like the ultimate magic trick and be Mechaya Mesim, like, well, it's like fundamental mamish, Tchias HaMesim. Why? So I believe it's a raya, and that's what the Rambam does hold, and the Rambam puts it in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. The guf gets its reward too. It's not just a magic trick, Tchias HaMesim. It means the guf reawakens and is purified and becomes a more spiritual entity commensurate with what the neshama is. And that's very important. The guf is not just shed and left in the ground. The guf gets its reward also. The guf is something that it worked hard, it sweated. I'm joking. Like, it sweated and it worked hard, and it had to be mevater on what it wanted, right? It had to be mevater to the neshama. So that's, I don't know if I saw it anywhere. That's why I think Tchias HaMesim is an ikra, because it really doesn't, like, why should it be so fundamental? Like, big deal. So, and if there wouldn't be Tchias HaMesim, like, what wouldn't work? So we would die, and then the neshama would live on and go into Gan Eden, hopefully, and then, and then live forever. Like, Tchias HaMesim, like, what, why? So I understand that according to the Rambam. Anyway, so a person's avoda is to be done in ratio to the milas tovas aleihem, and you know from the Torah that principle, because we read in the Torah Hashem chose Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and took us out of Mitzrayim. So we need the Torah. I think what the Chavis Halavas is saying in number 4 is You need the Torah to teach us this system, to give us the historical background and context, to give us more mitzvahs than B'nai Noach got this, because they were saved from the Mabul, and then the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim and went to Har Sinai, got Eretz Yisrael, and now we extrapolate. Now, you know, on our own, maybe we wouldn't come up with that system and say, or a sichle is okay, I have to be spiritual because Hashem gives me this and that and the other thing. It's the Torah that sets up this system. I think that's what he's saying here. B'chol dor v'dor, mischacho sibus la'om zulasi am acher. Mevios li'achdam betova me'es Hashem yisale. This is really an extrapolation. That's why some people have the minog, which I never used to understand until I learned Chayvus Halvavus, that by the Seder night, they tell their personal stories of how they were saved, let's say from the Holocaust, or other Hakoras HaTovs. It's like many, many families have them. Like they stop the Seder, maybe by Vehisha Amda, or maybe during Shulchan Orech. I don't know how anybody has time to do anything. I'm like, when's Chatzos? Like, I don't know. Maybe you could do it after the Haggadah, you know.
Talking about the kol, isn't it? Because it says that a person's obligation is commensurate with the amount
of tova he feels.
Shown him. So one man could be rich and have lots of kids and have all the good things.
Absolutely.
And poor. So he is the one who has to give greater. Isn't it an equalizer?
No. What you're asking, if you, that is true. Hashem has chosen this person to shower him with things more than other people have, and he has to give a bigger thank you. That, it's equal, we're all Klal Yisrael, we were all taken out of Mitzrayim, just like we're all human beings, and we all have hearts that work, and ears that, well, hearing that works, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and kidneys that work, et cetera. So Shabbat Mitzvah saying, no, we were all taken out of Mitzrayim. So Torah is the great equalizer, that's one of his qualities. But what he's saying here is that what gives us the insight into the system, which allows step two, which we'll call Ha'ara Sichlis, is the Torah. But you wouldn't get there without the Torah. It's a stepping stone not only pragmatically, but also conceptually. Because we read in the Torah that B'nai Yisrael, that there's B'nai Noach, and then there's B'nai Yisrael, and they got this many mitzvahs, and they got that many mitzvahs, and that's how we figure out. He's not so sure we'd figure it out on our own, that we have to thank Hashem, and our thanking has to be commensurate. So the quality number four of Ha'ara Toronis is that it sets the stage for Ha'ara Sichlis. We wouldn't be able to, the whole system is because we have a Torah, and we see we have 613 mitzvahs, and we see it's to the people that Hashem took out of Mitzrayim and gave them the Torah, right? So we see the system, and then we could start thinking, okay, Hashem gave me this and that, and therefore I have to maybe do a little more than the other guy, or I have to do more. A different quality was that Torah is the great equalizer, right? That's what we said before. That was number three. Number four is that the Torah is what teaches us the whole system of Hakaras HaTov, and commensurate with that, Avodas Hashem. B'chol dor v'dor mischacho sibus l'om zulasi amacher, b'vias li'achdam b'tovim yas Hashem yisala. V'tzorech ba'avuram, and because of that, she'yishyachdu gamheim b'tosefes Avodas HaBorei b'baladei shor ha'amim, more than the other nations of the world. Vein derech l'dazeh mitzar ha'seich l'vado. We wouldn't, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. What should I do? What should I do? More than Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You could put on tefillin, you could wear tzitzis, you could take challah, you could have a mezuzah on your door, you do chesed. We need the Torah to set up the system. Kasher bocha bona b'otzio son of Meretz Mitzrayim, b'v'u kriyas yamsuf, u'masha somach lemen atovos, asher in tzorech luzochram, b'avur shen yuduz, m'v'ur somos, all the things that we see in the Torah. You see, Hashem says he took us out of Mitzrayim, and he's going to bring down the psukim now. And we see that we have more mitzvahs than the nations of the world. That's how we say thank you for the extra tova, choosing us, making us his special nation, Am Segula, etc. V'yad osanu al kabalosu b'gmul olam hazeh uvabo, and we have a special chelik olam habo, the other nations of the world, it's much more difficult for them to acquire. Chassidi umus olam have olam habo, but kol Yisrael yeshlem chelik olam habo. Mashle Yisofem erov chesed v'tova, it's limitless. V'chozel lo yisbor kiyem batorah. We would not be able to figure out that system. Look, the Torah is coming to give the Torah, and look at the background, look at the lengthy speech, the explanation. Atem Risham Esher Rosisi Lemitzrayim, you have seen what I have done to Mitzrayim. Vo'esa Eschem Al Kanfi Nishorim. Vo'vi Eschem Eloi. And therefore now that you've seen all of this and you've experienced this Shefa of Tova above and beyond, Im Shamoa Tishmu Bakoli, Ushmartem Es Brisi, if you listen to me, do my will. Visumli segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz v'atem tiyulim emlechaz kona v'grei kadosh. So that sets up, it's in the Torah that we see this system. You know, we're trying to be smart, we're learning it in the Chavis Halavas. But he's saying the source of the system is in the Torah. That's number four. Number five, the Chamishi, ki ha'ora toriyo hi hagdoma umuvo el ha'oras ha'seichel. Raya olive. He says, it's a necessary stepping stone. Tell me something, he says. When would you start Ha'ora Sichlis? At what age? Let's be charitable. We'll pat ourselves on the back. At 25. At 25 we have enough Seichel and enough maturity to say, you know, life is not all about this bowl of cherries. And I have to do something with my life, and there's probably a Hashem in the world, and I have to be maketol. He says, by then it's like, too late, mister. You're too late. You know, what are you gonna do? First of all, what are you doing for 30 years? You should be in a spiritual wasteland for 30 years till you get seichel. And I'm being charitable when I say 25, right? So, he says, and also, if you raise a child, okay, no parenting class now, but if you raise a child that he gets what he wants, that the child gets whatever they want, then the first time they hit a disappointment, the kid's in for a bad scene, mm-hmm. which happens all too often. And she says, if you let a person work with her aura sichlis, if you let a person just work with our sichlis, and he's doing what, you know, and he gets enough seichel, and he controls his impulses, and his urges, and his tithes, and everything, you know, and then you come to him and say, oh, Shabbos, you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher foods. Yeah, come on, like, what do you want from the guy? He's been doing it his whole life. It's like spoiling a child, and then he wakes up, and he has to go out into the world, and then he faces disappointment and difficulties and struggles, and people say no to him, and his boss says no to him, and his girlfriend says no to him, and her boyfriend says no to her, and you know, all of a sudden he never had disappointment in his life. That's what the Chavis Halavas is saying. It's a necessary stepping stone so that right away when you hit 13, or even earlier because we do chinuch, you're already used to the idea of self-control, and you're used to the idea that you can't have everything you want, and you're used to the idea of being spiritual, and you know, so when you're 25, 30, and you acquire seichel, then you could start going to level 2 of Ha'ora Sichlis, because you're already into the system of self-control, we'll call it. Not just piling on what you want. So that's number 5, ki ha'ara toriyah hi hagdoma umavo, it's a necessary stepping stone, el aras ha'seichel, because for the first 20, 30 years, what's going to be? Uraya olov, babur tzorech ha'odam b'na aruso el chinuch v'hanhoga, v'lam noa ta'avo, so he has to be trained in self-control, not in self-esteem, in self-control. Ad sheyechzak v'yigon seichel, till he gets seichel. Again, this is rather, I think, a very important chinuch point, right? Because the kid's going to face disappointment. The child's going to grow up and get out into the world and not get whatever he wants. You better get used to it. Deal with disappointments, deal with denial,
with not having everything he wants. You got to deal with that. Okay, we'll skip the next few words because I don't want. Hopefully, you don't understand Hebrew. What happens if you do understand Hebrew? Well, let me explain what Chavir Lavavas says. Let me stick up for Chavir Lavavas. Let's face it. Some people, we all know, it's no secret that some people have a more intellectual bent, and some people have a more intuitive bent, and some people have a more emotional bent. Right? People are like that. Some people like analysis and, you know, mathematical minds and analysis, and some people are more emotional. So, Chavir Lavavas is generalizing. He's not saying women have no seichel. He's saying that women, and it's a generality, because there are women who are like men and men who are like women. In general, women are more emotional and men are more analytical and mathematical. If you don't like that, then I can't help it. But that's what he's saying. He's not saying women have no seichel. He's saying they are naturally more emotional. If you want to look at it as a mila, women are closer to the second madrega than men are, because they naturally will do things. Well, no, actually, he's saying the opposite, because seichel. He's saying, okay, I thought it, because it's emotional, because you're really engaging your heart and your soul. I think women are more are closer to madrega 2. He's looking at madrega 2 as very intellectual. So he's saying women are more emotional. And therefore, he's generalizing, and he says, so they would not do well in Ha'ara Sichlis, right? If you ask me now, how do we reach Ha'ara Sichlis? Where do we start, right? So I always say, start with Sefer HaChinuch. He gives you a little taste in what a mitzvah is. Then you move on maybe to Tanya. And you really, it's heavy stuff. You go on to, I don't even know what forum talk about it. This forum is the Shlo HaKadosh, Shlo, there are forum written on mitzvahs, and women do not sit there and pound those books. I mean, they don't. So, that's all he's saying, really. He's saying women would not do well if that would be the only system. So he's saying, first of all, till you mature, you're not going to do well, because you don't have the seichel. Then there are people who, as a generality, naturally are not seichel-oriented. They're more emotional-oriented, and they won't do well with Ha'aras HaSeichel. And therefore you need, again, this is quality number 5, that you need Ha'ara Toronis as a stepping stone to Ha'ara Sichlis. So he says, for everybody, when they're young, and then, because you can't, right? For everybody when they're young, and for the type of person who's not really that into delving into, you know, the pshat and all the mitzvahs and what spiritual benefits you get from it. Okay, and remember, in his days, women were illiterate, basically. They certainly didn't go to school. They certainly didn't go to seminary.
It's
even a bigger insult. The literal translation is women and feeble-minded men. Okay. Again, we could skip these lines if it'll make you feel better. You could say the Chavis HaLovers was talking from a paternalistic society that degraded women, etc., etc. But I'm telling you the pshat. He's just talking in generality. Who will do well with analytical, you know? Nowadays, and Hanami, women went out of the house, and they're lawyers and scientists and surgeons and everything they want to be. And Hanami. So that's what happened nowadays. That's the development of the humanity. It's also from Hashem. There's a very nice book written from a frum person. I forgot the name of it. Something with the word moon in it. Not what the moon brought. That's a children's book. Not good night moon either. But But really, and the yesod is that the liberation of women, we'll call it, even though feminism is a terrible thing, as it's done by the Goyim, but the book's yesod is that it's a very good phenomenon, and it has to do with the Levana, and just like the Levana La'asid Lavo will be as bright as the sun, it means women will also acquire the milos of men, and will become more, and the freedom that we see that women are acquiring, the freedom we'll talk about, you know, that they're outside the house, and they're all literate now, and the Beis Yaakov movement is part of that, and certainly the seminary movement, and now the women have, you know, steiged over the men in terms of Ha'ara Sichlis, one would say, you know, because the men are busy learning Gemara and don't have time for this nonsense. But it's written by a firm woman, and I went through it, you know, it's pretty good. And its yesod is that this is part of Hashem's plan to Mashiach. That because and then the tzushtel is that the Levana is going to become as bright as the Chama, and the Levana is women, right? So that's going to happen. So, yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm struggling to find the right words. He calls it Ora Sichlis, because the first step to engaging the emotions is to understand what the mitzvah is all about. Now, if I have to delve into Shabbos, and I have to learn the chinuch, and I have to learn the shloah, and I have to learn maybe Tanya, and I have to understand what Hashem's trying to accomplish. Ha'ara Toronis is, okay, I'm going to learn the rules, I could do this with Borer, I can do this with Tochein, I can't do this with, right, I can't do this, I can't do that, I could do this, I could do that. Then I start thinking about Shabbos. Then comes Ha'ara Sichlis, where I understand what Hashem's trying to accomplish by giving us Shabbos. He's trying to take us away from the physical one day a week. All these things are partial to you now, but they're really Ha'ara Sichlis. And he's trying to make us more spiritual people. And he wants us to have Bitochon, which is the parasha of the Mon and Shabbos. And he wants us to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, which it says in the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Vayeschanan, that the purpose of Shabbos is like Yitzias Mitzrayim. And of course, it's Kishei Shishem HaMasashem. Then once I incorporate all of that in my Seichel, then it flows into, oh, so, wow. And I'm not limited to Shabbos anymore. I could be taking a walk on a Wednesday morning, and I could be thinking how Hashem created the world. Like I'm catching this. So then it becomes an emotional experience, because if it just stays in the Seichel, then you might as well go to Hebrew University and learn this stuff, right? So, but when he's talking about women being more emotional, oriented, not intellectual, because the first step to develop Ha'ara Sichlis is Sichlis, Seichel. Analysis, delving into something, seeing the depth of Shabbos, the depth of Chesed, the depth of Tzedakah, the depth of Challah. See, again, it's foreign to us because, you know, Yamima Mizrahi has nothing to be ashamed of. And we watch the video she puts out about Challah, and we're like, it's deep, right? And then, you know, and I only hope my Yeshiva Bachar sons would understand it. We're living in a different world since the Sarishnir. A different world. But to understand my answer to your question, yeah, they would do better at the emotional part, but he's talking about the first shlav has to be to sit and study and delve into the Sforim, which talk about what are the spiritual benefits of matzah, challah, mezuzah, tefillin, right? Yeah, and you have to study that. I think the first level, because it's really a very simplistic level, and I only say that because he himself says it, is the Sefer HaChinuch. If you want to start touching upon the deeper meaning of mitzvahs, I would say that the first rung on the ladder is Chinuch. And he himself says this is like kid stuff. And he wrote it for his children so that they shouldn't play ball Shabbos afternoon. He writes that in the Nagdama. I don't want my children to be out playing games Shabbos afternoon, so I want to make Torah interesting to them, like a Pirchei group. You know, till there were Pirchei groups. When I was a kid, we played slap ball, you know, Shabbos afternoon. It was probably an Erev there, hopefully, maybe. I don't know. But then someone, Rabbi Pessin, there's a Rabbi Pessin here, Ramat Beit Shemesh, his great grandfather or grandfather made Shabbos groups before Pirchei, called it Onik Shabbos. And we didn't play ball, and we came, and he gave us candy, and we played games, like in the air, and we sang songs, and he told us a story. And, but that's what the Chinuch writes, that he wrote his Sefer to do that for his son. That his son and the son's friends shouldn't go crazy, you know, because we have struggled with that too.
what's my son supposed to do Shabbos afternoon? He's bored out of his mind. You know, I let him go outside. He's like, are you allowed to ride a bike? You know, or, okay. Anyway, so that's, okay, we're in the middle. We'll stop here. We're in the middle of number 5. Okay. And we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem next week. Be'ezus Hashem. Thank you.